Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com. You can support the ministry of Bob Enyart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word. This morning's sermon is a bit unusual in that it's something I've done here at this church, but I think most churches don't do. We have a seminar coming up on predestination and free will Saturday. And I often, it's a bit selfish, a bit rude, but you guys are always gracious. I often use the congregation here as guinea pigs, rehearsal, to see, is this going to work? And afterward, I get feedback, which usually has been tremendous. For example, when we've debated people, and I start the Sunday or two before, I debate the congregation. And during the sermon, men, women in the church will offer their rebuttals during the sermon, and we hone our presentation. So what I'd like to do today is go through the opening, the introduction to the seminar, and test it out. And afterward, during our potluck, you can let me know if you think it's going to work or not. And here's the goal in the seminar. Not to preach to the choir, because those of you from this church who will be there, you know that I believe in free will, but there are a number of Calvinists who will not only be there, but who will listen to the recordings, the MP3 CDs in the coming months and years. And our goal is to win them over. Why do we want to win over Calvinists to believe in free will? Well, ideas have consequences. And when Christians say that it's God's will that abortion is legal, and that God chooses for this specific baby right here to be torn apart this day, and that God is glorified by that baby's death. Well, ideas have consequences. When the world hears from Christian radio and TV that terrorism is God's will, and that rape and alcoholism and divorce are all part of God's will for the world and even for your life. When people in your life perform actions like these despicable things, we don't understand it, we're told, but it's God's will. It's my perspective that ideas have consequences, and when we undermine the justice of God, then we make it more difficult to convince unbelievers that there is a God of justice. Because the kind of justice that we hear about on Christian radio and TV and from many pulpits is not a kind of justice that resonates with human beings at all. So it's my goal to get Christians who believe that God has eternally foreordained all these things, it's my goal to get them to reconsider, to at least put the question back up for consideration. So in the introduction, I don't want to shut them out right off the bat, but I want to get at least their attention and get them to think about the issue perhaps in another way, a new way. So here we go. Let's make believe now. We're stepping into La Quinta Inn. And we agreed to have it there because, you know, in Wichita, Kansas, the La Quinta Inn was being used by the late-term abortionist George Tiller to basically do follow-up work on the women he aborted. And a number of us contacted La Quinta. I spoke to their vice president of operations, who gave me his home number and his cell phone number, and said, we will take every effort to stop that abortionist from using our facility. And he really went out of his way to do that. And we were very, very thankful. So we told him we'd use La Quinta, and a week later we booked the seminar here. So that's our first keeping our word on that issue. Okay, so we're walking into La Quinta, and it's Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, and greetings to the brightest Bible study group in America. Welcome to this predestination and free will seminar. Is everything predetermined in advance, or only some things, or is nothing predetermined? In a moment, I will tell you my position so that we'll have full disclosure, and you all will know where I'm coming from. But first, consider a powerful example of what is at stake in this debate. The Christmas tsunami that hit Southeast Asia, halfway around the world, across the international dateline, while it was still Christmas Day in America, some people think the tsunamis were part of God's eternal plan. Others think they were just a natural consequence of sin, having ruined God's original paradise that he gave us. And then there is another variation. This topic is fraught with variations. While some believe that God planned the tsunami from before creation, and many Christian free willers, if I can call them that, free willers believe that the tsunamis are a natural consequence of sin ruining even the creation itself, others who believe in free will nevertheless attribute the tsunamis directly to God, arguing that God sometimes brings disease or natural disasters as punishment for sin. And that's a variation, strictly speaking, because God's direct intervention is a separate issue from predestination. Does that make sense? He could have predestined something, or he could have simply intervened. So there are a few different views of the tsunamis. Either they were eternally predestined, or God responded to man's free will sin and caused the tsunamis, or natural disasters are just that, the natural consequence resulting from sin ruining the original paradise. During this seminar, we will try to disentangle often blurred topics, like separating this idea of God intervening from the question of his predetermination. And we will separate Calvinism from more casual versions of predestination. Calvinism. What is that? Calvinism takes its name from the Frenchman John Calvin. It's a systematic theology that makes a lot of predestination. Later, we'll evaluate the 5 points of Calvinism, the 5 main doctrines of Calvinism, and we will see that there's variations within that camp, with Christians agreeing with different numbers of those 5 points, some Christians. And not only does Calvinism have many variations, as does free will, but it also has enormous influence on non-Calvinist Christians. For example, Christians who believe strongly in free will constantly explain everyday events in terms of God's plan. A drunk driver kills a father, and the free willer, influenced by Calvinism, interprets this as God's plan for that family. Have you ever heard that? Pastor who's free will, and a father in the church is killed by a drunk driver, and he says, we can't understand why this is, but it's God's plan. A woman has an abortion, and her free will pastor assures her that not only will God forgive her, but influenced by Calvinism, also that God's eternal purpose was being worked out even by this. Regarding a loved one who rejects Christ, a free will Christian influenced by Calvinism takes comfort believing that any conversion cannot come until God's perfect timing. And these are the free willers. So regarding the truth, whatever the truth is, there is only one truth. But regarding what people actually believe, the variations are legendary. And if Calvinism is correct, then its influences have merit. And if it is incorrect, then it is obscuring the truth. And as we proceed, we'll try to clearly delineate such variations and find our way through this maze of confusion and variety. For those listening to this who are not Christians, I want you to know that I am a believer. I believe in God. And we offer a video called Mount Moriah, free to non-Christians, which presents overwhelming evidence that corroborates the Bible's claim that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so I declare his message that those who trust in him will have eternal life. And those who reject him, well, they will get exactly what they wish for and live apart from him forever. Interestingly, many unbelievers for centuries, even for thousands of years, themselves, unbelievers, have rejected free will and chance to differing degrees and have believed that many things or even everything is predestined. And they often refer to this belief as fate. Fate. Christians generally prefer to call this providence rather than fate. And unbelievers sometimes use the word providence. A couple thousand years ago, there was a Greek philosopher who wrote a treatise called On Providence. So unbelieving pagans who are a part of the world of Greek philosophy, they're very comfortable with the notion of providence. Now let's again put this whole matter into the simplest possible question. Is everything predetermined in advance, or only some things, or is nothing predestined? I submit that these three logical possibilities are the only three possibilities. Either God predetermined everything, or only some things, or nothing. There are no other variations on this theme. And during this seminar, we'll try to crystallize the issues and simplify wherever possible. And one of these three possibilities we could eliminate right off the bat, really simplifying our task to a choice between two options. I submit to you that for all the centuries of debate among Bible students, no serious school of thought has advocated the third option, that nothing is predestined, that nothing is. Because basically all Christians agree that the very act of creating moral, self-aware beings like men and angels unavoidably includes God predetermining that, well, to use an obvious example, that obedience would have its rewards and rebellion would have consequences, so that any would-be rebels faced a predestined consequence of guilt and death. So we all agree, the Calvinist to the free willer, that God predetermined when he created us that if we rebelled, there would be consequences. So there are really only two possibilities that we need to choose between. Either God predetermined everything, or he predestined only some things. And, well, everything first. Those who believe that God pre-planned absolutely everything, they also believe that he predetermines whether a baby will go to heaven or hell for all eternity, that it is God's plan alone and not the baby's development or any free will choice as that person grows up that decides its eternal destination, either in heaven or hell. Most of those who hold this view claim that God is completely immutable, that is, that he cannot change and does not change in any way. Also, that he is outside of time, existing in an eternal now, and also that he has no emotion, which they call impassibility, no emotion, and that the future is not open but locked, and not even God will alter the predetermined unfolding of every detail. It is said that there is no maverick molecule in all the universe. Everything, every thought and action and bit of matter is exactly as God has planned. This view that God has pre-planned everything holds that he predestined every event, every action, thought, even every atom, so that the names of all the redeemed, from the redeemed to every photon in a sunrise, from the identity of all the damned to the settling of tea leaves in a cup, that God has planned every detail of every detail. But regardless of whether that is true or not, all Christians do agree that God has predestined how he would deal with those who love him and those who hate him. So if an angel of light ever rebelled against God, there would be predestined consequences. And if Adam and Eve fell, a predetermined death would set in. And God predestined that he would defeat anyone who opposed him and make victorious all men and angels who love him. And of the only two real possibilities, that either God predestined everything or only some things, the second is actually just a subset of the first, just not taking God's planning as far as Calvinists do. So those who believe that only some things are planned often see disasters as a natural consequence of sin, whereas everyone who believes in total predestination believes that God is not only the source of all goodness and righteousness, but that he is also the architect of all wickedness and destruction. So my own position is that God predestined only some things. God is a holy God and a righteous God, and he is not the author of confusion. Yet we go through the Bible and see that confusion is everywhere where there are men. Yet God is not the author of that confusion. He does not decree filth and perversion, but abhors and fights against evil. Yes, God predestined some things. He predestined that he would glorify, for example, members of the body of Christ. That is predestined. And that he would forever isolate those of his unrepentant enemies. Those who are opposed to God and they refuse to repent, God will forever isolate them. These things were predetermined. And each individual decides freely whether he will side with God or against him. And later in the seminar, we'll discuss the Calvinist claim that sin makes it impossible for a fallen man to trust in God. We'll talk about that. And thus, without impinging the slightest on free will, we say that God predestined the ultimate outcome of every person's existence. Our ultimate outcome is predestined, but God never determined specifically who would inherit eternal life and who would be forever punished. He just determined that if we're on his side, we will be blessed forever. And if we oppose him, we will be punished forever. And that's what we believe the Bible teaches. So that where you see that the Bible says that God predestined that he will glorify those in the body of Christ, it didn't mean he wrote down your name before you were conceived and said, you know what? You have no choice. You are going to be glorified. And your sister, she's going to hell. When the Bible says that God predetermined that members of the body of Christ would be glorified, it showed his plan for the body, not his plan for you. What is at stake? This matter speaks to crucial life questions, such as, does God plan who you should marry? In what house should you buy? In which career should you choose? And whether your children will be saved or go to hell? And who wins elections? And whether abortion will be outlawed? Imagine pro-life Calvinists, I've been on the streets with them so often, who actually believe that God wants abortion and that the abortionist inside the mill is as much in God's will as the Christian outside begging him to stop. Isn't that a recipe for confusion? God is not the author of confusion. There is more confusion among Christian theologians than any other group of people in the whole world. And what causes much of it is that they believe that God is the author of confusion when he defends his own reputation and says that he is not. What is at stake? The weaknesses and the temptations that you will give into. Some tell their wives, their pastors, their boss that they don't understand, but it was God's will. Whether or not you will be miserable or happy. This all has great implications for the Christian life, including in how we are motivated. Calvinists answer the following questions with no's. I'll give you a list of questions. They answer them all no. And free willers answer them yes. Does prayer really change things? Calvinists say no. Free willers say yes. Prayer really changes things. Our sin makes God grieve. Calvinists say no. Well, it's his will. Free willers say yes. Obedience brings God joy. Calvinists say no because God is impassible. He has no emotion. Therefore, he cannot grieve when you sin or be joyed by your obedience. Can our worship touch God's heart? No, he is immutable, the Calvinist answers. He cannot be touched or affected or changed in any way, that's the doctrine. Can our petitions move his hand? The Calvinist says no. The free willer says yes. Can we affect him in any way? The Calvinist always answers no. Primarily, they claim, based upon God's, what's the word? Anybody? Sovereignty. Calvinists say that that is the foundational doctrine. That because God is utterly sovereign, also that he is unchangeable, and that he has no emotion, therefore, the future is locked, not only for us, but even for him. So God and the future remain utterly unaffected by anything that we can do. Whereas we free willers do not begin with God being sovereign or being immutable, but with God being alive, relational, loving, and just. Those are our foundational attributes that all of our theology flows from, and that everything living changes. Change is part of the definition of being alive, and that relationship requires two-way interaction. And that love must be volitional, freely given. So that love God with all your heart would be meaningless apart from free will. So we've asked the question, is God able to create free will beings if he wanted to? Is he able to? Some Calvinists argue, no, he could not. Is God able to create free will beings? I believe he is, and he has. And if indeed he is able to do that, then did he, And I believe that overwhelmingly the Bible presents to us creatures who are in their own rebellion against God, not His rebellion that He scripted for them. And God is pleading with them throughout the Bible from beginning to end to repent, so that we do not have to search for the elusive will of God in our lives. Like, who should I marry? Where should I live? Because if God created us with free will, then we realize that He has already revealed His entire will for us in Scripture. It's all right here. There is no secret part to God's will for us that I have to discover. Maybe I'll find it written in the clouds or in the dust on my dresser, the name of the person I'm supposed to marry. Rather, God has provided the guidance He intended to provide for us right here in His Word. And He leaves the actual decisions up to us. That's the consequence of believing in free will, one of them. The Calvinist, on the other hand, believes that God manages the universe at both a macro level, like there will be a heaven and a hell. If people reject me, there'll be a heaven and a hell. But that God manages at the macro level and the micro level, ultimately planning not only His victory over the rebellion, but also micromanaging our lives, orchestrating every circumstance and guaranteeing every choice, so that I really only need to find out what He's already decided for me. Or perhaps I don't even need to concern myself with His specific will for my life, since I can simply trust in Him that everything I do and decide, He has eternally decreed. So now let's jump in and look at the seven most powerful Bible verses used by Calvinists to prove their theology.
Hey, this is Bob Benyart. If you would like to hear more, you could go to our store online or call us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com, click on the store, and then you can get our Bible studies, or go to the subscriptions where you could subscribe to our sermons and our Bible studies. You could get really fun verse-by-verse studies or topical Bible studies. I think you'll love it.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Benyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-NYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Benyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.